in play.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Executive pay has been a big topic of discussion lately. Today, there's talk about making payouts commensurate with long-term performance. The Wall Street Journal says New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, Congressman Barney Frank, and other Democrats are behind such a plan. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Short-term thinking has fueled Wall Street pay for years. Bonuses are doled out every year, and executives are offered huge pay packages when they sign on. Paul Hodgson of the Corporate Library says it's high time the emphasis switched to rewarding executives for long-term performance.
It's a setup that's been adopted elsewhere in the economy, in fact, where you might promise a cash incentive or a stock incentive, but you don't deliver it until that performance has been achieved over 3, 4, or 5 years.
But some are worried about the government having a hand in that kind of shift. Charles Elson directs the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware.
Every time the government has gotten itself into the compensation business, they've managed to make a bad situation an awful lot worse.
Elson says he supports pay being tied to long-term company performance, but he says boards of directors should make those rules. Otherwise, he says, shareholders will lose out. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The U.S. trade deficit shrank by nearly 10% in January. That's helping spur a flurry of buying on Wall Street. The Dow and S&P shares are pretty much flat, up just a tad. NASDAQ shares down about a third of a percent at this hour. European shares are higher 1 to 3%. The Nikkei shot up more than 5% in trading today. The Chinese government said today it's ready to add more money to keep its economy in check. And the country's premier also had a message for the United States. Get your fiscal house in order. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Prime Minister Wen Jiabao told a press conference that Beijing has adequate ammunition to roll out new stimulus anytime. Chinese officials faked out the markets last week, suggesting that a new package was coming and then it never happened. Economists say the point today is Beijing is ready and able to supersize its half-trillion-dollar stimulus. Still, Prime Minister Wen sounded less assuring on another topic, loans to the United States. He said he was concerned about the safety of our assets, as in $700 billion in treasury bonds. Economist Wu Xingbo is with Fudan University.
We are not expecting the U.S. economic recovery in the next several months, but we hope the Obama administration will address our concern in a direct way.
The prime minister asked the U.S. to maintain its good credit. By one measure, U.S. treasuries have fallen 2.7% this year, but still they're deemed one of the safest investments on earth. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, World Bank President Robert Zoellick said today stimulus packages alone won't be enough to stabilize the global economy. He says governments must also work hard to fix the banking system. Zoellick says 2009 is, his words, a very dangerous year. Today in Los Angeles, the NAACP is filing class action lawsuits against two big banks, Wells Fargo and HSBC. Lawyers for the civil rights organization say the banks forced blacks into subprime mortgages while whites with identical qualifications got lower rates. They say African-American homebuyers have been 3.5 times more likely to receive a subprime loan than white borrowers and 6 times more likely to get a subprime rate when refinancing.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
There are more spring training games set for this weekend in Major League Baseball, but attendance so far in this preseason has been pretty lackluster. That could be a precursor to some down numbers during the season. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad joins us now. Diana, how does this year compare to average years?
Well, Steve, if you look at some of the numbers and if you've watched any of the preseason games, you know, spring training over the last couple of weeks, I mean, there are vast areas of empty seats. The Angels, for instance, are averaging usually during spring training down there. They get about 6,000 people per game. This year, 3,000. So if that's a precursor, as you say, to the regular season and attendance is going to be down something, let's say it's just down 12, 15, 20%. Of course, not only are we counting ticket sales, these teams count on 20 to 30% 10% of their entire revenue comes from outright ticket sales. Then you add on top of that the parking, the concessions, the merchandise sales at these ballparks. So we can see the math is pretty easy to do. If they're going to be down, you know, that many numbers of people, they're going to be down a lot in revenue this year.
But, Diana, tickets aren't near as much as they are for other sports, NFL and the others. Doesn't that count for something?
No, it's a good point, and it does count. I mean, last year, the 08 average ticket around the ballparks was $25, a couple cents more than that. I mean, the NBA has gotten up to close to $50 now. The NFL is at $72 for an average ticket. But the difference in baseball is that it's largely a family game. People are going with their entire family. They're buying, you know, the Cokes and the hot dogs and the T-shirts and everything. It's costing them a fortune. So this year, you know, MLB is trying to do everything they can to make it a better deal for families. Some teams are offering free parking to get in. Some teams are offering, you know, one adult buys a ticket, two kids will come for free. You know, there are a number of family packages that a lot of the teams are doing.
So how are the teams adjusting to this possible drop in attendance and ticket sales then?
You know, there are a few creative deals. I saw that the Twins, for instance, with the slide of the Dow Jones, have decided that they're going to actually mirror that slide to the ticket sales, especially in the upper deck. So if a ticket's $21, if the Dow closes anywhere in the 6,000s that day, they're going to make that ticket $6. Closes in the 7,000s, that ticket will be $7. And almost every team has some sort of creative promotional angle like that.
Who, Diana, stands to gain if baseball clubs aren't getting the people in?
You know, honestly, the only silver lining I can see in all this is that people are staying home, okay? If they're not going to the park, they like the game, they're staying home. So it could be that the television ratings will go through the roof.
And plus, there's a new MLB Network, too.
There is a new MLB Network, so, you know, people can watch their own team round the clock instead of just watching the Yankees day in and day out. I didn't say that. I'm a Yankee fan.
Business of sports commentator Diana Nyad. Diana, thank you.
Steve, thank you.
Share your thoughts with us and check out our online blogger and host, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.